We are getting steel fibers too.
All right, so what are you proposing, Jamie?
Striking that word mesh. And then I can support the change.
All right, we have a second on striking the word mesh. Any discussion on just that piece?
I think you might need to change reinforcing to reinforcement.
These systems, when they're tested at UL, that is the term that's used. It's reinforced mesh. And really, under UL product approvals, you can't just take the mesh out and put something else in place of it without testing that system.
I think that's a concern. If a product is produced with a fiber mesh and they can pass the UL test, this would prohibit that.
Okay. Again, we're only talking about the changing of the word mesh at this point. Dan?
Yeah, when it says reinforcing mesh, when you take out mesh, it says reinforcing shall be provided as required to meet the fire rating, and it's all related to the product control approval. So whatever reinforcing is called through in the product control approvals that you've got to provide, now, that makes it separate.
Right. Doesn't need to be in the code. That's exactly right. Okay. Any further discussion on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Going back to the modification as currently amended, is there any further discussion on that? Or to say, okay, those who support the amendment as modified, Craig?
The word mesh went away with the industry who manufactures this product years ago. They called it welded wire reinforcement now.
Okay.
I propose we change it to welded wire reinforcement. Say what exactly it is. There's a standard in the code for it called welded wire reinforcement.
Greg, I think the intent is not to limit it to a specific type of reinforcing.
But then we just should say reinforcement.
That's what it's saying right there.
That's what it says now.
It's not relevant. It's welded anyway. But anyway, so right now, what's your proposal, Craig?
I just want to see the word mesh taken out. Y'all have taken care of that, so that's fine.
Yeah, mesh is taken out.
That's okay. I was looking at the code when y'all did that.
Yeah, that's all we did was take out mesh.
That's fine.
All right. All in favor of the amendment as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Is there anybody opposed? One opposed. Okay, 7-1. Okay, I believe that completes those particular ones.
But
Charlie,
can I address the reason that I've been opposing a lot of these? If you know, in the folder that was passed out at the beginning of these is a whole. This is basically a reorganization and a change to a substantial section of the code. And some of them we've approved, and some of them we haven't. And I'm fearful of how that goes together in this package that was submitted to us. I think that what we've created with their help is an absolute mess.
And Charlie, I think most of the code changes that were approved were editorial, replacing a word, removing a word. I think those are most of the code changes that were approved, and nothing technically substantial, so I mean, if there is, I think someone from the public or one of us will catch it and make a public comment to address it.
All right. Thank you. We go to 25, 54, and 55, I guess, the building and residential volumes, respectively, regarding amending 1926.5.5.
Happy to know we're approximately halfway through the tracking chart.
Mike Goolsby, Building Code Compliance. These are my modifications. Primarily, I submitted these changes as a way to try to address the problems we're seeing with the cantilevered balconies, the spalling of concrete, issues of chloride attack and so forth that is so widespread in the coastal areas, particularly Dayton Broward County. We see a lot of this. I took a stab at this. I'm not sure if this is, in the end, what we are going to consider complete, because this is an antiquated section, somewhat out of step in probably a couple of ways. The fundamental thing I've done here is just introduce a requirement for waterproofing instead of the existing option between the damp proofing that's listed there in the struck item number 3 and the coverage of an inch and a half. I'm not so sure that an inch and a half coverage is working for us, and I'm just looking for a way to try to get this issue addressed. And I did that via the way of dealing with this with a requirement for waterproofing in an effort to seal these cantilever balconies.
Anybody else want to speak in favor of this?
Joe Belcher, Florida Concrete Products Association. ACI 318 does call for increased cover of concrete. It calls for it to go up to 2.5 inches, I believe, when you're in a corrosive atmosphere where you have a salt-laden air or sea spray and that sort of thing, which is a big part of the problem that Mike is trying to address here. So ACI 318 does address that. If you're looking at 318, the problem is a lot of people, when they're doing these balconies, they're not looking at that. They don't look at it on an inspection standpoint. And then a few years down the road, when the steel starts rusting and starts spalling, that's when they come back on it. So I've dealt with some jurisdictions, and we have made a requirement out of ACI 318 when you're in that salt-laden environment to go with 2.5 inches. I'm not sure. Did you have 2.5 inches in your? You do not in your change, do you? I would suggest that as a modification to the change to pick up that ACI 318 language. I was just trying to get the specific section. I can get that for you if you want.
All right.
In addition to what Joe said, which I would consider that reasonable, I would also at the same time suggest placing the requirement for waterproofing that's in the upper paragraph and into item number 3. Again, offering it as a option to the 2.5 inches of coverage that Joe suggested.
15, 19, 16. Okay. Anybody else want to speak in favor?
Can we see the changes you're proposing? It. I mean, that's not what we're looking up. Is not what you're saying.
I
found it.
That's correct. What's in the red in. Right there where it says comply with all other waterproofing requirements, put that in to number 3 below there.
In addition or just in addition?
No, and leave the striking of the issue of the silane, because that is restrictive to us, one particular type of waterproofing or damp proofing agent. So it, with regards to the waterproofing, what's in Chapter 15 and Chapter 44 would allow a broad choice of waterproofing agents.
Okay, Betty.
Where is that going?
Place that in item number 3,
right,
Betty, but leave
right
that struck through portion.
Where am I putting it in?
Just put it, I've been trying to show you right here. See this little thing? Right there. Just put it there.
And take out the strike through on the number 3.
No, not that. Leave that there, Betty. Just the number 3. Go ahead and leave that alone. Get out of there. Now just take it off of the number 3. There you go.
There you go. You're going to need to change the number on 4, though.
And then we're going to need to change the number.
All right, it's an incomplete sentence so far. It's got to have what shall comply.
Take out the word shall, capitalize the C and comply.
Okay, but we're not going to spend an hour on incomplete sentences. We're going to try to get the substance of this organized.
I have a question on this. I know this is just an exception. Maybe I haven't heard this section closely before.
Turn your mic on. Turn your mic on, Dan.
Is it necessary to comply with all of these items?
Let's scroll down, Betty, please. There's one more change that needs to be made there where it says an inch and a half. That should be 2.5 inches. And then all the other changes with regards to those numbers, they need to revert back to what they were.
All right. So
once again, my question: do all of these items have to be complied with?
I could answer that. The compliance with those other items would be contingent upon whether or not the 2.5 inches of cover was provided. If less than 2.5 inches is provided, all those items one through four would then be necessary.
All right. Does anybody else want to speak in favor of this? Does anybody want to speak against it? All right. Come on up. Again, remember, only new points to be added. Make your points and add new ones as you need to. Okay. Yes.
Is it supposed to be deleted from the top shelf and comply with all other waterproofing requirements?
Yes, ma'am. And to take out the period and the...
No, just take the period after the word and, that's all. Just delete the period.
I want to thank the chairman for your indulgence in this matter.
Okay, so don't delete the word and. Just take the period that's there at the end of it. Okay, right there is a period. Make sure you add the period. Delete it, okay. Well, I guess that's...
And then the capital N would not be there anymore. And the strike through on the lowercase there.
Okay. Right, okay. I think the substance of the modification is finished.
I need to ask a question.
You want to ask a question before the opponent speak?
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got two changes here. One's residential, one's commercial, or built. In both cases, we've got modifications that reference both volumes of the code. Should not the reference in the building code be to 15.19.16 and the one in the residential code be to 44.02.8.16 and not reference both in both changes?
Correct. So that needs to be fixed.
So in this one, which is the one to building, you need to further delete the R44.02.8.16. And in the next one, which is 2155, you need to delete the reference to 15.19.16.
Okay, that's the substance of the code change. The opponent, please introduce yourself and please proceed.
Thank you. My name is Paul Savage. I'm here to oppose the proposed modification. I'm from the law firm of Greenberg Traurig in Miami, Florida, with offices at 1221 Brickell Avenue. Accompanying me today to assist with opposing the proposed modification is Mr. Mehdi Ashraf from Gottman Consulting Engineers and architect Jose Suarez from Seeger Suarez. First of all, I thought that the rules provided that we argue. I'm sorry. I thought that the rules provided that we argue on the merits as to a proposed modification and then get into amendments after that vote is taken. And I think it's been changed twice at least. And we reserve the right to our counterpoint, and also we also have brought our own modification if the committee happens to pass the proposed modification. We have our own amendment and would like to reserve the right to talk about that at that time. But just to be against the amendment right off, I know that we're trying to move as quickly as possible. So our two witnesses today are going to address the two primary points that we believe that the committee is supposed to hear, which is, number one, is there a need for this? And Mr. Ashraf is going to tell us that existing code provisions that require galvanized steel and that require denser, stronger concrete in areas of salinity already address this, and that there's no need for this and that there's no danger of spalling under the existing code. Secondly, the other item that this committee is supposed to entertain is the cost impact to the development community and others. And this proposed modification lists no impact because this is already required. We strongly disagree with that notion. We do not believe that it's already required under the existing code. And in fact, we've submitted evidence, which we're handing out now, that... that Mr. Suarez is going to show some example projects in all of the square footage and all of the balconies that this is going to add, contrary to what they say, no impact. This is going to add hundreds of thousands of dollars to all of these projects. These particular projects that Mr. Suarez is involved in happen to be very high-end projects, but I'll also point out ahead of his testimony that this requirement will apply with equal force and require that much cost for a standard affordable housing situation. So we don't think there's a need, number one. Number two, we think that there's, in fact, a great cost impact that will apply not only to high-end projects but also to lower affordable housing-type projects.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak in opposition?
Mehdi Ashraf from Gopman Consulting Engineers, a practice as a structural engineer and also a building department official with City of Miami Beach. This amendment has been triggered because of a lot of problems with balconies in coastal area, and while I was working at Miami Beach, I faced a lot of problems in balconies. But then we faced problems with those balconies where the concrete had maybe 3/4 inch to 1 inch cover. There was no galvanized steel. The strength of concrete was 3,000 psi. The water cement ratio was higher. And at that time, even threshold inspection or special inspections were not required. But since the codes have changed, we have a Florida registered architect or an engineer supervising the construction. We have a very low water cement ratio of 0.4. We have high strength of concrete. We have galvanized steel. And cover is 1.5 inches. Mr. Belcher has stated 2.5 inches. I would like to see the ACI 318 where it says 2.5 inches for an elevated slab. I haven't seen it so far. I thought 2.5 inches for the concrete, which is exposed to severe conditions directly, like concrete against water or concrete against soil. So that I'll have to research about 2.5 inches. And in my opinion, if you are providing, if these precautions are taken, providing waterproofing would be redundant, and it's a big burden to the development community.
All right. Anybody else want to speak against?
We're going to have our architect, Jose Suarez, come up. And also I wanted to put on the record that I met yesterday with Ms. Truly Burton of the Builders Association of South Florida, and she authorized me to state today on that organization's behalf that they are against this proposed modification.
Good afternoon. My name is Jose Suarez, Seeger Suarez Architectural Partnership in South Miami, Florida. My firm basically dedicates itself to designing high-rise residential towers, and I'm going to refer to the cost aspects of this modification. In some of our buildings, for example, Trump Towers in Sunny Isles, we have approximately 311,000. Square feet of balcony, only balcony, which could range the cost, the additional cost for this, of just of the material and the installation. This is not the detailing around the vertical post, underneath the sliding glass door, etc. Could range anywhere from $933,000, that's at about $3 a square foot, to $1,866,000 at about $6 a square foot. I see that as a considerable cost, which will have to be passed on to the buyers. If we were to do this also to the garages, now we're talking about in a range from an additional $1,900,000 to about $3,780,000 just for waterproofing the garages. Of course, these are high-end products. So, yes, it's going to affect the developer and it's going to affect the buyer. But once we take it into low-cost housing, imagine what it'll do to that. at $3 to $6 a square foot of application.
Okay. Does anybody else want to speak against? All right. Would the proponent like an opportunity for rebuttal?
Regarding the upgrades that Meddy spoke of, those only kick in if you do have the additional concrete cover noted in item number 5. With regards to the cost issue, there is this option already for the waterproofing. You measure that against the logistical and material costs of the additional cover. There is a mediation of the cost involved. Clearly, I would agree with $3 a foot in regards to this. $7 a foot, I think, is good work if you can get it. But I think $3 is more consistent with what's out there. Again, the fundamental issue here is addressing this antiquated section of the code, trying to bring it up to speed with the current state of the art, and introduce some level of life safety in regards to the balconies that are being installed. And finally, the code is a minimum. There's certainly individuals sitting next to me that consistently exceed the code, but the code's not written for them really as this minimum document. It's really written for the other guy, and that's the person that I deal with consistently from a regulatory aspect.
Okay, would the opponent like an opportunity for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. I'd like to make one small comment and also ask my expert one question, if that's okay. I promise to move very quickly.
Go ahead.
Number one, I noticed that in the comments that the proponent has admitted that, you know, well, maybe we are looking at $3 a square foot. That's different than saying there's no fiscal impact. There, in fact, will be a tremendous fiscal impact. And also, I want to ask... our engineer, Mr. Ashraf, in your professional opinion, based on all your years of experience, do you believe that existing code requirements that require galvanized steel and also denser, stronger concrete at 40% that is already required is adequate to protect the integrity of the building and also resist spalling and salinity issues?
Yeah, I would... If these conditions are taken care of in the drawings and in the field, I would be willing to sign and seal those drawings. And as I told you, that while working at City of Miami Beach, the problems which occurred in those balconies, these were designed 20, 30 years back, and the problems occurred after 20 or 30 years. The new code, either you take the 2001 or 2004, that's not been tested because we haven't, the time hasn't lapsed. And why worry about it now? I mean, problems occurred according to very old codes, 20 or 30 years back.
All right. Okay. Is there a...
I get a chance with that, too.
Yeah, go ahead, since
just
they had there.
Real briefly, again, what is being mentioned is the enhancements in item 1 through 4. Those are not even required, as long as you comply with item number 5, which is the additional code.
They can come in. Until then. Okay. All right. Is there a second for purposes of approval?
Second.
Okay. Discussion.
Joe, do you have a comment?
I just want to clarify the 2.5 inch. That is in the commentary of ACI 318, and I do apologize. 2.5 inch. Other members, it's 2 inches for walls and slabs. ACI 318 tells you when you have these conditions, these corrosive conditions, you have to, and one of the items that tells you to do in the code, not in the commentary, is to adjust the cover, the concrete cover. That's one of the things you have to do. The other things the gentlemen are mentioning, higher strength concrete, denser concrete, those are all things you can do as well. Okay? But it still says for corrosion protection, you should be increasing the cover. And in the commentary, they give you 2 inches. I'm sorry, it's not 2.5 inches.
All right, so you're just correcting your statement.
Talking about 20 to 30 year old, I've been working with the city of Daytona Beach Shores in the last year, but they've got buildings 3 to 5 years old. High rise buildings on the water, they're having the problem with inadequate cover for other concrete, and they've only got the inch and a half. They're getting spalling of the concrete from corrosion of the reinforcement. So it's not just 20 year old
But these buildings that you're referring to do not have the galvanized steel.
Okay, hold on, guys. Sorry.
This isn't a debate.
Yeah. Let's let the TAC discuss it and see where we sit. If they need further clarification, we'll ask you. You'll probably get some other opportunities if needed. Go ahead. Discussion. Any TAC member want to discuss this? We have a second, yeah. Dan.
Yeah, just a few comments. I look at an awful lot of high-rise buildings in my business, and I've seen an awful lot of this corrosion and spalling of concrete and so forth. What we've got in the code right now is pretty doggone good. In fact, I think if I was sitting down and writing it, I probably wouldn't have written it quite as stringent as it's written. I'm a little surprised, actually. The 0.4 water cement ratio goes a long way to preventing the problems, probably more than any other of the issues. Adequate concrete cover, of course, is another big issue. If you provide both of those, you're probably going to do real well. The galvanized reinforcing, I think the jury's out on galvanized reinforcing right now. I'm not sure that we've got enough data to see whether or not that really does any good or not, but I suppose we'll find out in another 10 years or so. Actually, the problems on these buildings that we've had trouble with didn't take 20 or 25 years to occur. Most of those buildings were having problems within 10 years. I know because I looked at them. And buildings 10 years old were getting severe spalling problems. Now, 25 years, they were much worse. The addition of waterproofing on top of the slab goes, you know, another level, and it's a good thing to do. Whether it's necessary, I think it's debatable. I think it's a noble effort. I think if I was designing a building, I would definitely put that, put some sort of waterproofing on top of the slab. My experience is that buildings that have some sort of waterproof covering, whether it be an actual water-resistant covering or even ceramic tile seems to do a real good job, although that's not its primary purpose. To make it mandatory, you know, I'd like to see maybe a little more study done on it before we jump into that. Considering all the things that are already there, I think to add one more thing on top of it might get to be a little bit more excessive.
Jack?
I'm looking at the building officials in Dade County memo dated January 31st. I have a real concern over... It's on. I have a real concern over a couple of things I'm reading in this. Apparently, they were questioned whether this was being done as a local technical amendment, and the answer was the board reaffirmed that the waterproofing guidelines are intended to be advisory in nature, and the use of the guideline by the building official is discretionary. Well, I would contend if it's discretionary, it's a local amendment to the code without adoption under Florida's specific local amendment processes. So it looks to me like they're already doing this in Dade County. Is that correct?
No. Keep reading the second paragraph.
I'd like to answer that. This is in the code. This requirement that you see here is in the code at this time. This issue brought to the board was relative to the 2001 era, and we do have the waterproofing in the body of the code. Not as a technical amendment, never was a technical amendment. There was some guidance that was provided by the board, but it was not a mandatory right. issue. It was never enforced
okay.
as a
you
technical
amendment. Further, that is okay. the provisions of 15-19-16, correct, that were put in as part of the 2006 supplement. But currently they do not apply to exterior balconies. Is that correct?
That's correct. You're seeing what...
This is an attempt to extend the 2006 supplement 15-19-16 to include exterior balconies.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion from TAC members? Doe.
I think just for procedural, I'd like to make a friendly modification, make 2.5 inches to 2 inches, consistent with ACI commentary.
Yep.
You know, my comment is, you know, first thing you get taught in concrete class for corrosion protection is you need cover. That's first thing they teach you. Obviously, my experience in deck is 1.5 inches is not working. Okay, I get corrosion 3, 4, 5 years. In reviewing that, the only thing that I think Michael is suggesting is that All I see that he's changing substantially is requiring the inch and a half to be 2 inches. If you don't meet 2 inches, you have to meet all the requirements in 1, 2, 3, and 4. So the only substantial change that I see is changing the cover from inch and a half to 2 inches. So I would support this modification.
All right. Jack?
I will remind you that they're taking a requirement that was put into the code in the 2006 supplement specifically for roofs and now applying it to balconies. So they are making a substantial change in that regard. Okay, I mean, that's fine, but I tend to agree with Dan. I think the area needs work, and maybe this would be something the commission ought to look at a work group as they've done on so many other controversial issues, especially dealing with water, water intrusion, water penetration. And it might be more appropriate to recommendation the commission be established a work group and come back with a recommendation as opposed to just putting in the code, adding substantial costs, I might add, above what the proponent had indicated was a no-cost change.
All right. Dan and then Jamie.
Yeah, if there was anything, I think this is a complex section. I think you really need to do a lot of work on it. If there was anything I was going to would support on this, I'd support the 2.5 inches of cover to not have to do all the rest of it. However, the issue of the 0.4 water cement ratio, in my opinion, is a mandatory requirement by ACI 318 anyway. Even though it's you were writing it in the code, I think if you read ACI 318, they talk about concrete that's going to be in high levels of chloride exposure, and the 0.4 water cement ratio is already a requirement. So I don't think we can deal with this adequately today. I think it needs to go back and be reworked. I think it would be a disservice for us to try to do something today with it.
All right. Jamie?
Speak in favor of the modification. I think it is the attempt to do something about it and to have something that after applied is going to have a larger or better protection of that steel that's used on those balconies. I'm speaking in favor of it.
All right. Any other TAC member? All right. Those TAC members in favor of the amendment, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those opposed, raise your hands. 1, 2, 3. It fails. And I'm going to make the assumption that we're speaking on 2154 and 2155. Both fail 5-3. Okay. I understand that we're going to have to be out of here at 5 o'clock, so we're not going to get to stay any later. With that being said, we'll look for a we need a motion to recess. 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, right, Mo?
Where we meet with Energy Times.
Yeah, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
We got
here
time enough to get one more out of the way.
8 a.m.